Welcome to It's Your Community with Vanessa Denha, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. Vanessa Denha Garmo here with Epiphany Communications and Coaching. March is MS Awareness Month, and to talk with us about that is a longtime friend, a very talented writer and editor, and owner of Just Write, a home-based communications business serving corporate and nonprofit clients throughout Southeast Michigan. Jennifer Stang holds a bachelor's degree in journalism from Eastern Michigan University and has worn many hats in the communications industry, including managing editor, PR account executive, and marketing copywriter. Please welcome Jennifer. She's a single mom living with MS and is passionate about advocating for individuals with disabilities. Jen, how are you?
I'm doing well, Vanessa. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
So tell our listeners first who may, everybody, MS is not something new. We've known about this, but people may not understand exactly what is multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, well, MS or multiple sclerosis, which actually means many scars. It's an autoimmune disease that impacts the central nervous system. So the brain, spinal cord, and optic nerves. And for reasons that are still really unknown, the body's immune system attacks the myelin sheath. And that's the protective layer that insulates our nerve fibers. So you can kind of picture like a little mouse eating away at an electrical wire, at the insulation around that wire. And so the damaged areas show up as lesions on an MRI, hence the name MS, multiple sclerosis. And what happens then is that the signals to and from the brain are disrupted. And then that causes a whole host of symptoms. It can be numbness, tingling, pain, fatigue, difficulty with walking and balance, impaired coordination. There can be vision loss, speech problems. The list goes on and on. And it affects about 1 million people in the U.S. It's very unpredictable, and there's no cure. So the goal with treatment is really to just slow the progression.
And Jen, do they know what the root cause of MS is? I mean, do they have any idea and where the research is at this point?
Right. There are several theories. There's some very interesting research right now that's come out recently linking MS to Epstein-Barr virus, which is the virus that causes mono. So that will be interesting to see. I would love to see more research into that. But right now it's still kind of unknown. Yeah. There's a lot of theories, and even the autoimmune aspect is kind of still a theory that, you know, does the body really attack itself? It seems almost like, you know, why would the body attack itself? There's so much we don't know, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I remember many years ago, Jen, as a full-time reporter, I had done a story on MS, and there was like researchers, I believe it was Wayne State, trying to figure out, and they were talking about different theories. Was it, you know, was it a virus that attacked the spine? Was it, right, you know, an environmental source? So, you know, is there research getting better over the years? This was like 20 years ago. I mean, is there any hope in the research and the medications?
Well, the medications are a lot better than they used to be. Like when I was diagnosed 18 years ago, there were really just three. Nowadays, there's a bunch of them that can really slow the progression if they're started in the early stages. There's infusions, and, you know, it used to be just injections, like you would inject yourself daily or weekly, and there would be flu-like symptoms and a lot of side effects. So I do believe that's getting better. And, you know, as I said, this virus, this viral link, I think that's where the research should be right now, because they did find evidence. I mean, pretty much everybody is exposed to Epstein-Barr, usually when you're very young. But for, you know, they're finding evidence that in the brains of people with MS, all of them, like I think it was 100%, had this virus. But they're not sure why some people, you know, what is the trigger? Why do some people end up getting MS and others don't, if we're all exposed to this virus. So yeah, so much more research needs to be done, but I think that's a promising area.
So Jen, what are you hoping, you know, why is the awareness is so important? I mean, obviously the whole month of March is MS Awareness Month. And, mm-hmm. you know, what are you and others involved in sharing this, advocating for people with disabilities? What are you hoping to share with the general public about MS on a regular basis? And especially during this month, this awareness
month. Right. So MS Awareness Month is obviously about raising awareness of the disease, putting a face on it. You know, there are likely people in your community, your workplace, you know, maybe even your own family who are affected by this. And of course, it's about, as we mentioned, raising funds for research into better treatment options, you know, into the underlying cause. And then we talked about the whole viral link. But I think, you know, MS can be a lonely disease and a very socially isolating disease. So I think it's important to help those affected make connections with others. And, you know, thanks to social media, there are a lot of MS-related forums nowadays where, you know, you can get on there and speak with other people and say, hey, you know, did you experience whatever symptom or have you? You know, can you recommend a neurologist, or, you know, what treatment are you? So, I mean, I think having that community is very, very important because, you know, in our day-to-day lives, people with MS, there's just not, it's not like we're going to go to the store and see somebody. Maybe, I mean, that happens, but usually you're not going to run into other people with MS just out on the street. So, so I think, yeah, just that sense of community online is important, but there are also, there are MS walks, there are MS bike events, you know, and caregivers and family members can get, you know, involved as well, which is mm-hmm. important for them too, because it can be very stressful and isolating for them too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Are there support groups for entire families, like with people with MS, like either the caregiver or people like you, Jen, who have MS? I mean, how important is that? And is it wide, you know, globally with the internet? I mean, obviously, like you just said, you can reach out to more people.
Right. I suppose, I'm sure they do exist. I am not aware of specific groups for caregivers. I'm sure they're out there. But I know like the support groups, I know there's one in my county, in Livingston County. They meet at a church, I think once a month. And so you can do in-person, you know, support groups. And I think the MS Society would be a good resource for that.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Jennifer Stang. She is with Just Right, a home-based communications business serving corporate and nonprofit clients throughout Southeast Michigan. And she is bringing awareness to MS during this MS Awareness Month. When were you diagnosed, Jen?
I was actually diagnosed in 2005, so 18 years ago now, which seems really hard to believe that mm-hmm. I've been with this disease for that long. But I remember I was getting ready to go on vacation, and I went for a pedicure. And a couple of days later, I started having numbness and tingling in my toes. So mm-hmm. my first thought was, you know, what was in that pedicure water? Like,
yeah.
Something. I mean, I really thought I had some sort of weird infection or something.
Yeah.
Went to the doctor. She sent me for an MRI, and sure enough, MS was the diagnosis. And I was just in complete shock. And in fact, in a lot of denial too. So I ended up going to four different neurologists, hoping they would say something different, but they all concurred. No, this is MS. And shortly after that initial, that kind of pins and needles feeling in my toes, that ended up spreading throughout my entire body. So it's like that feeling you get when your foot falls asleep was in my entire body from the neck down.
Wow.
And I started, I couldn't walk in a straight line. I had like a kind of a feeling of like this tight band around my torso and just all sorts of strange sensory symptoms. So that initial attack was pretty bad. I did recover from that. And
that was 18 years ago too, Jen?
That was 18 years ago. And I recovered. And you know, the first few years were relatively mild, I would say. MS is sometimes referred to as the invisible illness or an invisible illness because you really can't tell in many individuals with MS, you wouldn't know by looking at them, you know, when they're in the initial stages. They probably do have terrible fatigue and other things going on, but you can't tell, you know, just by looking. And then there's other phases that, you know, I'm in right now is the secondary progressive phase where it is obvious, you know, I do need a mobility aid to walk. I sometimes use a cane. I sometimes use a walker, sometimes even use a wheelchair. And that's another discussion that I think is important to have is that there's no shame in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very difficult for me to accept that I need a mobility aid, but, and I was embarrassed at first. I really did not want to go out in society, you know, using one of these aids, but especially the wheelchair, because when you're diagnosed, that's always, you know, your brain goes right there. Like, oh, I'm going to end up in a wheelchair, as if that's like the worst thing that could ever happen to a person.
Yeah.
And honestly, if it, you know, if it wasn't for my wheelchair, I wouldn't be able to go see my children's plays, you know, concerts. I wouldn't be able to go to the doctor or visit my dad at his living facility. So it's like, you know, it's not the end of the world. I need these things and it's enabling me to be a member of society, you know?
Yeah. And thank God we live in the advancement of technology. We do today that there are these resources and services that you can use, these tools like the wheelchair and the walker. Jen, obviously with MS, like you mentioned earlier, people, the symptoms may be similar with people and the diagnosis, but yet there's different stages. So some MS doesn't progress, you know, as others do. Do they know why it progresses in some people and doesn't in others?
That is unknown. They why. And also some people, they just have very progressive MS right from the start. Like my uncle, he was diagnosed in his, I believe it was late 20s or early 30s. And I mean, and it just progressed very, very quickly. And he's actually, he's bedridden. So, you know, whereas, in my case, I was able to raise my children and live a fairly, you know, quote, normal life for many years. And so I would say I'm kind of like a newly disabled person and learning how to live in the world as a disabled person, which has been very eye-opening, by the way. It's, you know, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation.
I want to get into that because go ahead.
So yeah.
Go ahead. Just finish that thought and we'll talk about that living in the...
Yeah. So, where was I going with that?
With your uncle being, you know, how he progressed, you know, so everybody kind of reacts differently to the
everybody.
Disease.
Yes. Yes. That is very true. And hence the, sometimes they call MS, the snowflake disease, you know, because, as each snowflake, is unique. So is the course of the disease for each individual. And I mean, it can be different. You know, you might have mobility issues. Another person might have speech problems. Another person might be partially blind. It can actually cause blindness. And so it's all over the map. And even with each person, my disease could look very different at 9 a.m. than it does at 4 p.m. I mean, sometimes I wake up and I think, okay, you know, this is going to be a good day. I'm all right today. And then, you know, by the afternoon, I just have to rest. And that's another difficult thing is that you just have to accept that, you know, it's okay. You can take a nap, you know, the world will not end, put your phone on silent and take a nap and it's okay. But I've had to learn that too. I mean, this culture is we go, 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 go. And MS is like, no, you need to stop. You need to rest. So, a lot of lessons learned. It's very humbling.
Let's talk about now your lens that you have for the world with somebody who needs a wheelchair, with somebody with a disability. You're probably seeing the world in a way that you never saw it before. Can you share that with our listeners?
Absolutely. You know, it's, as I mentioned, I'm kind of a newly disabled person. So it's really been eye-opening. And, you know, the ADA is a wonderful thing. Americans with Disabilities Act has really tremendously help people with disabilities to be productive members of society. But we have a long way to go. There are a lot of businesses that, you know, they'll have the little wheelchair symbol on their door, but the experience when you get in there is very different. So, I mean, I was visiting, actually, it was a post office the other day, and I was surprised, you know, being a government establishment. I mean, so what the ADA did was the intention was, you know, I should be able to park my car as a disabled person, you know, get my wheelchair out of the car, enter the establishment, you know, conduct my business, my affairs, and leave and go home. And I should be able to do all of that by myself. But if I hadn't had my son with me that day, I would not have been able to complete my task. So, you know, I got into the post office. The counter was so high that I couldn't communicate with the employee. I couldn't reach the credit card machine. You know, I needed, and also there were barriers getting in the building. There were potholes. There were, you know, high curbs. I mean, it was very eye-opening. So my son was a tremendous help to me that day, but I'm seeing this all over the place. I mean, there's dangerous, you know, ramps that are too steep. As I said, parking lots that are just in terrible condition, you know, and then there are not only infrastructure, you know, issues, but there are social barriers as well. I do believe there is still a stigma attached to disability, you know, people with disabilities. So, you know, where if I go somewhere, you know, people won't make eye contact with me if I'm in my chair, but they will with the person that I'm, you know, that I'm with. Or I have had people blurt out, you know, the most intrusive comments and questions. I mean, I've had the most common question that I get is, what happened to you? Happened, you know, and it's like,
are these coming from strangers, Jen? Just yes. Anybody?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes. I was at a doctor's office the other day and a woman came up to me. What happened? You know, and it's always,
oh my gosh,
it's always in that tone, like they're shocked. And maybe, you know, it's funny too, like little kids, you know, I get that. That's fine.
Well, little kids are different, but people, yes. You know, people kill me. They don't know other people's journey. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They make
yes.
this assumption or thinking that question is even appropriate. I don't mean to cut you off, but I remember right. I have a relative of mine who has a heart condition, a serious heart condition, and she's quite young. Okay. And mm-hmm. she has to park in handicap because she can't even walk from like her car to like, she gets so winded because of her heart. Mm-hmm. So she legitimately yes. We were together going to a dinner and she parked in handicap. And before we walked out of the car, this woman starts screaming at her saying, how dare you? And I'm like, I was livid. I was like, do you even know her health? Do you know her journey? Cause you're just assuming, you know what I mean? You
right.
know what's going on in this woman's life. And
right.
So there's a message there to being, you know, what happened to common decency and courtesy and caring, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And not being intrusive. So how do you handle situations like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, if it's a child, you know, I don't mind at all. You know, I had a little boy, I was in a store. This was actually when I was using my cane. And he was just fascinated, just totally fascinated by it. And he said to his mom, look, mommy, there's a woman using a cane, but she's not an old woman. And I just laughed and I said, well, thank you, honey. I'm glad you're saying that I'm not old, you know? And then I just used it as an opportunity to teach him. I said, you know, I have this disease. My legs don't work very well. And then I noticed, like, you could see of course his mother was mortified, you know, but you could see as I talked, any sort of awkwardness or uncomfortable, you know, ness kind of just melted away. And then we were just people talking to each other, you know? So I don't mind talking about it with people. It's just, you know, it would help if maybe you said, you know, would you mind if I asked you a question? You know,
yeah, yeah.
That, you know, and then let me say, you know what? No, I, I'm really not, or sure, you know, what would you like to know? Because education is so important. You know, I'm all for education, and that's part of that whole MS awareness, right? As educating people about this disease. But just to kind of be verbally assaulted, you know, that's not good. And another thing I get frequently, very frequently, is, you know, well, you know, my cousin's boyfriend's daughter has MS, you know, and they're taking X drug, and yeah, they're doing great. They're mountain climbing, you know, they're traveling the world. You know, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this or that? Or have you tried bee pollen? You know, have you tried, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. So, you
as
know.
If you didn't exhaust all efforts to help your health. Yeah, I know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's been like, you know, a full-time job for the past, you know, 18 years. Is I've done so much research and into, you know, I do take a more holistic approach to treatment.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at everything, diet and, you know, exercise and, you know, of course I need to do a better job with those things, but yeah, it's somebody, you know, there's a lot of, pseudo, doctors out there, you know, telling you how to treat it. And again, it's not a cookie cutter approach because it's different for each person. So
Jen, it just sounds like there needs to be a lot of education out there when it comes to people with disabilities, almost like there's a book, like a playbook of like, you know, what to do's and don'ts, you know, what society, I mean, honestly, I don't think we've done enough. You'd be the perfect person to write that. But like how, you know, do's and don'ts and, you know, the challenges people with disability face. I mean, you make so many valid points. What would you like to, what advice do you have for people who are not looking at the world from your lens? What would you say to them? What suggestions do you have for them?
Yeah. So, you know, I guess, I say this to my daughter a lot. And again, my kids, they've really become just more compassionate people because of this. And so that's a good thing. But, you know, my daughter and I talk about this when we go places is just because I'm sitting down, I'm still the same person. I'm just sitting in a chair, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm still an individual, you know, that deserves respect and, you know, and to be an equal member of society. But, you know, I think there's still a belief that disabled people, you know, are not, you know, equal members of society. So, it just, you know, I would like to be treated just like anybody else. You know, you don't have to go out of your way to, you know, some people will do that. Like they overcompensate and, oh, how are you, you know, and just make a big deal out of talking to me. Whereas other people avoid me like the plague, you know?
Yeah.
I did have an instance where I was in my scooter. So I sometimes use a scooter as well. I just have a whole host of mobility aids. And I was riding my scooter and I was approaching a woman who was walking toward me with her little boy. And we did that thing where, you know, you're not sure which one is going to, you know, it was kind of getting it to be like a narrow section of a sidewalk and we weren't sure which one was going to go first. So I kind of stopped to let her go. And then she stopped to let me go. And I thought it was kind of, you know, I was just kind of chuckling like, oh, sorry, you know, and boy, she got very angry and she grabbed her son by the hand and made this like wide arc around me as if I had like, you know, leprosy or something. I mean, it was, you know, she was just trying so hard to like get her child away from me. And so that was very humiliating. And I think everybody who has MS has some sort of, or any type of disability, be it, you know, physical or mental, we all have stories like that, where there's sort of a, almost like a disdain, like, you know, I've heard people say, I know this is absolutely terrible, but I've heard people say, I'd rather be dead than disabled, you know?
Yeah, that's awful.
It is. So, I mean, just, you know, I love it when I go somewhere and it's just, I'm just treated like anybody else, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. So how's your business going, Jen? We're talking with Jennifer Stang, freelance writer and editor and owner of Just Write. We're talking about MS Awareness Month. How's your business going?
Yeah. So my business, thanks for asking. It's actually going really well. And I'm so fortunate. I just thank God that I have a business that I can still, you know, do very well with MS. You know, I don't need my legs to be a writer. So that's one very good thing. And, you know, I actually serve a nonprofit client who they actually advocate for people with substance use disorder who are in recovery. So they talk a lot about stigma, and I've learned a lot about stigma through that organization. And so you mentioned about writing a book, that they actually did produce a book dealing with and yeah, SUD. So, so you know, that's giving me some, you're giving me some ideas, Vanessa. I think I need to write the book on stigma, with regard to disabilities.
Yeah. I mean, I like your whole message that you want to just be treated the way you deserve to be treated, with dignity and respect, just like as if you were standing. I mean, what does it matter? I mean, and I think that's a really valid message and important to everybody. I don't think there's intent on anybody to be hurtful. I don't think there's people are thinking, you know what I mean?
Right.
They're just not being critical thinkers and thinking, well, you know, and going back to the premise, do unto others as you want to be done to yourself, the golden rule, treat people the way you want to be treated. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Such an important message. So if people want to reach out to you for any freelance writing or communication work, how do they find you?
Yeah. So on Facebook, or, you know, my email, jenniferstang@yahoo.com is a great way to get a hold of me. That would be fantastic.
Great. We're talking with Jennifer Stang here. What last messages do you want to share with our listeners, Jen, about MS awareness? What else do you want them to know or maybe even do this month?
Yeah, so you can always go on to MS, the National MS Society does several walks in cities, you know, all across Michigan. So you can sign up to do a walk. And, you know, really just, as we mentioned, just, you know, treating people with respect, treating people the way you would want to be treated. I mean, that really is the main thing. You know, it's funny because, you know, my daughter and I talk about this too, that, and you mentioned it, that there's really no malicious intent, I think, people, but how many people really have a disabled individual in their lives? They just haven't been exposed, you know, to it. So, I think just, the more, you know, for people with MS, and I've had to learn this too, you know, don't kind of hide yourself away, get out there in society, because maybe there's another person who has a disability and is afraid to be out there, to put themselves out there. And it's like, we need to be out there. We need to be out there for each other and, you know, making a difference in the world, just like anybody else. So,
yeah. You know, I love that. That's such a good point. And, you know, I've done work with my husband's cousin, her daughter has spina bifida, and a lot of those kids are in wheelchairs, and I've done series of stuff with them, you know, helping them to get the word out. And that's another thing is, you know, they say the same thing, you know, we're out there because we want people to know we're just normal like everybody else. We want, you know, we want to live as normal as a life and not people to judge us in any way because we're in wheelchairs. And so I think it's such an important message. Jen, you could reach out to so many other people with disabilities and get their perspective, you know, and share their stories. I think there's a book in there, Miss Writer.
Yes, absolutely.
I think there's a book in there. Jennifer Stang here with us from Just Write, a home-based communications business serving corporate and nonprofit clients throughout Southeast Michigan, talking about MS Awareness Month. Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us here on It's Your Community.
Thank you, Vanessa. It was such a pleasure to talk to you today.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. Jennifer Stang, if you have any questions or comments, show topics you want me to get to, you can go to Epiphany Communications and Coaching. You can email me there, or you can find me on all my social media platforms, private message me on LinkedIn or Epiphany Communications and Coaching on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram and on Twitter. As always, we remind you to connect, communicate, and to collaborate with your community. We'll catch you next time here on It's Your Community.
It's Your Community, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.